Good afternoon, this is your host. Well, actually, I should say it like this. Good afternoon, this is your host, Michael J. Long, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Well, I'm going to say it with as much passion as I probably can, and I probably should, but here's the deal. This government quarantine crap, it raises a good question. And that question is, what about your civil liberties? And what I mean by that is your civil liberties, your rights, all of your rights, your gun rights, your First Amendment rights to peacefully assemble in a grievance to and what and from and all this stuff regarding government. Like, here's the deal, right? You have your First Amendment rights, and that isn't to protect you from the free market. That is to protect you from government. Your First Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights to your First Amendment rights to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for reverence of grievances, your Second Amendment, the right of we the people, the right to bear arms, shall not be infringed, and all of your rights. It's about all of your rights in the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, and in most state constitutions. Guess what? It's like they're being pulverized. It's like they're being destroyed. And every time there's an emergency, it seems like something like that happens. So I was listening, I was watching this video on Facebook, through a Facebook group and YouTube and stuff like that. You can catch Ben Swan anywhere on social media, etc. He's got this series in Truth and Media, and his most recent response to the coronavirus has been, he raised the question, which is where I got it from, in terms of, you know, does it matter? And, you know, and of course his response was that of course it matters. And he raised a whole series of different questions, including, is the Constitution in quarantine and your rights to peacefully assemble, to bear arms? And then he looked at various different examples where state governments and the federal government, no, the state governments, I believe it was, and municipalities and the local county, local and county areas of government, trying to take away, through various means and acts, our Second Amendment rights and our First Amendment rights, various stay-at-home orders. And it makes no sense to me that government would do this, like order all non-essential businesses to shut down. So I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say, look, all of your economic rights are also being trampled on. Your right to own a private business, and now this deal where President Trump wants to nationalize all American industries and corporations, he wants to nationalize them. Then you got local, state, and county governments trying to restrict your right to bear arms, you know, stay-at-home orders, and then they're also ordering shutdowns of up to 95% of the economy, including non-essential employees to be laid off, including all of your private businesses, all of non-essential businesses to be shut down. I mean, this ain't good for the economy. And then to tape it all off, the president has, the Congress has passed a stimulus bill where it funds the government, but it doesn't fund we the people, it just funds the government, with all our hard-earned tax dollars going to winners and losers of the, you know, economic stimulus packages that are being brought to forth by the U.S. Federal Reserves and the IRS. You know, so while our rights are being trampled on, meanwhile, government wants to also nationalize. And there's also, and Democrats have been talking about this nationalization of goods and services for a long time with their universal health care and their so-called single-payer health care plan, which is now Medicare for All. Which, you know, so we're talking about universal basic income, universal single-payer health care system to be established. That's what they want to do. They want to also have gun control, and the only thing the Republican Party or the so-called conservatives in the Trump administration can do is sit there and say, well, we're going to, in spite of what you guys want on the left, we're going to, you know, nationalize all these industries, or at least that's what they plan to do. They haven't come up with any law yet to do so, but I think such a law and such a plan would be disastrous, because there's nobody other than the free market that can do a much better job than what the government can do. The free market has done wonders for innovation and technology and so on and so forth. We live simpler lives because of it, you know, and then we got to have government nationalize everything under the sun that is owned by private industry, private this, that, and the other thing. And we want the government to own that? I mean, you got to be kidding me, right? You know, and then on top of that, we're going to increase taxes for it and pay for those goods and services that are going to be owned by the government if they get their way with this. All these stay-at-home orders. I mean, don't you think that they kind of violate the U.S. Constitution? And I ask my viewers this to, I ask people to consider, do their rights matter, and is it worth fighting for? I ask them to consider that. I ask everyone to consider that, because this is what we all should be asking ourselves. We all should have the right to free speech, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. We all should have the right to also assemble and get together and assemble our free speech, which is meant to protect us from government infringing on it, is being infringed by the government. And also our Second Amendment rights, which have always been under attack, which has always been attacked, currently being attacked, also our Third and our Fourth and our Fifth. I mean, that's the other thing. You have the CIA, the federal government now, or the CIA and the intelligence operatives now wanting to, in the government, now wanting to suspend habeas corpus because of this coronavirus. So now everybody else has been pre-arrested, awaiting trial, etc., and everyone that's currently been arrested has already been tried and post. All these people, if government gets their way on this, will probably be held indefinitely through the suspension of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus, I think, is a brilliant and good idea as prescribed under the U.S. Constitution, where you have the right to appear with your consent to be tried by a jury of your peers, to see the judge face-to-face or by, you know, Skype or whatever technology allows us to do that. But what they ultimately want to do, and this is based on what I know, based on some of the research I've done from some of the videos I've seen, they want to say... All right, we're going to see the judge, and you're not going to have any part of that. You're just going to sit there in your cell, and we're going to make all the decisions for you in terms of when you get released. You know, so this includes indefinite detention and decisions being made behind your back in secret. And that's the thing about secrecy, is that it never works and never will. But they want to impose that. So in the process, we are losing our rights over this coronavirus, or at least the government is attempting to destroy as many of our rights as they possibly can. There is a smoke screen behind this coronavirus, and I'm not hitting on the coronavirus or doubting its implications. I'm not saying that it can't kill people, but I'm saying the government's response to the coronavirus has been enormously detrimental to our civil liberties and our rights. And it's in times like these where we should be getting together to help ourselves. And, you know, even Larry Sharp has spoken about this, where we should get together and allow volunteer groups and organizations and the free market in its whole, in its entirety, and small businesses, that includes small businesses, big businesses, corporations, organizations, industries, anything that you can think of that's private, volunteer organizations, free market, the love and the growth of free individual, free independent people coming together to help those that are sick, to help those that are in need, without the use of government infringing and saying, this is what you need to do, this is what we need to do. No, the government needs to, I feel, get out of the way. And I feel people are, like, if the government just proposed recommendations and what they feel people should do, I'm sure people will follow it. Or their advice based on research of the coronavirus. But instead of that, what we're getting is you need to stay at home. Unless you have to go grocery shopping, unless you have to go to an appointment, a medical appointment, or you're sick, or you're going to the hospital or something, you have to stay at home. Especially also if you're a non-essential worker. And meanwhile, they want to destroy our rights and our civil liberties, and we can't assemble with more groups, with more than up to, we can only assemble up to 10, so they want to do away with our ability to do more than that, because we might spread, is it because we might spread the coronavirus, which has a doubling rate, or like, let's say 4, 10, or whatever, or is it because they want to, this is their opportunity to now squash and squander our rights? So this is what we should be asking ourselves. And we also should be asking ourselves, what is the proper role of government? Should government be allowed to have all the essential powers that they have? To note, we've had the 9/11 attacks where the Twin Towers were attacked by hijacked aircraft from men from Saudi Arabia. That apparently there were men that were from Saudi Arabia that we allowed to come into the country. And, you know, the story, at least that's, this is how the story goes, they hijacked those planes and they attacked the, you know, the Twin Towers, all that. So, okay, these terror attacks, though, which happened more than 20 years ago on September 11th, 2001, which was like, what, 20 years ago from today? And we still have the Patriot Act, and now we have the NDAA, which in its recent form has now authorized the use and activation of the Space Force, when there was never really a need for the United States Space Force to exist. And what are they going to do? Just sit there and, you know, look for any country that launches missiles or rocket launcher attacks or whatever? I mean, I don't know. But what I do know is, you know, the more rights that are taken from us, from the government, the more power government gets, the more it will grow. And I should say, from a libertarian perspective, we're more about reducing the size and the growth and the power of the government, and not so much so that, you know, we don't have a government or this and that, but more so that we can live, so we can decide for ourselves what we choose to live, put in our own bodies, how we choose to live our lives, how we choose to raise our children, how we choose, if we have children, right? How we choose to spend our money, you know, so on and so forth, as long as we don't impose danger, force, or fraud to others. And I believe, as a minarchist libertarian, that there is a role for government. But that government, that power should be dramatically reduced to doing the fundamental basic things that it does best. And that is to preserve and to protect our civil, to preserve and protect our civil liberties and our rights in this country internally. I mean, other than that, you know, and we have a military so we can defend this country from both foreign and from international military attacks and or invasions. But other than that, we shouldn't have to have more than what we have in the government. I mean, we have way too many government agencies, boards, commissions. We have the FEC, we have this, we have that, this, that, and the other thing. And what are we getting out of it? You know? Instead, let me give you an example. What we get out of it is with the debate on president, the Commission on Presidential Debates, as it's called, which never should have came to existence or into fruition, for that matter, now says, hey, guess what? If you're a libertarian, you have to jump through all these hoops to get on the ballot. You have to be in enough ballots on, first of all, you have to be on a ballot on the ballots in enough states to mathematically win the election. Well, okay. And then you have to, on top, which is reasonable, but then the next regulation is you have to get 15% at least in most of our approved polls, which is usually like One America News or Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or Newsweek or CNBC or ABC or NBC or whatever, right? Or CNN even. And most of those organizations and news organizations and publications and all that, they don't like to release polls that include, you know, like in 2016 when Gary Johnson was running. They deliberately, in the media, in the press, tried to exclude Gary Johnson and Gary Johnson, who was the presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party at the time, from being in the debate, from being in the polls. And any poll that he was put in, you know, he didn't get much. But we managed to get 3% of the vote with a little, 3 or 4% of the vote, or at least, yeah, 3% of the vote with a little over 3 or 4 million voters. So those 3 or 4 million voters said, you know what? We don't like the Democrats. We don't like the Republican Party. And you know what? I think now when you look at the Libertarian Party voter registration or membership or people who have signed up to be associated with the local state, I mean, at the for the National Libertarian Party and its membership, it has quadrupled. Even in New York State, the amount of people registering to the Libertarian Party and the LPNY, which is the National Libertarian Party's state affiliate here in New York and so forth, has, I mean, in most, it's grown exponentially, and I think a lot of that has to do with our beloved work at the county level. So I want to see the Libertarian Party grow, because I feel like our elected officials at the local, state, and county levels are doing a lot more to recommend what should be done, what shouldn't be done, instead of imposing stay-at-home orders. We're giving the people the choices at that level to decide whether they want to stay at home or not. So there's no better reason to vote for the Libertarian Party than now, obviously, or to even sign up for the Libertarian Party. But yeah, I feel like the government's response to the coronavirus has been, at least at the national level and in many local, state, and county levels of government, whereby you have Democrats and the Republicans running the show. I feel like, you know, we're not getting anywhere with all these mandates, and that's what they're doing. It's like a smoke screen. You can almost sense it, you know, it's not a physical smoke screen, but it's a psychological smoke screen. It's not the kind where you're going to go attack the Germans and there's this smoke screen in the middle of the field that you put up and or whatever. No. But it's psychological. It's like they're blinding us with this coronavirus, but behind closed doors, there are real motives which have not been seen by the general public. One has to wonder, with all the requirements that people must abide by, I think in some of the bigger cities, they have the National Guards being employed and FEMA and all that. And anybody who doesn't stay at home is going to be arrested and thrown in jail or be risked having a felony upon. So, this is just something to think about. I'm Michael J. Long, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.